Have you ever looked into the eyes of the man you were destined to marry, only to watch him hand your crown to your own flesh and blood? I was left to rot in the freezing mud. But the winter didn't kill me. It forged a lichen queen. And now I'm coming back for my throne. The great hall of the Silverpine Pack was a spectacle of medieval grandeur, bathed in the warm, flickering glow of 1,000 tallow candles. Tapestries of legendary wolf hunts lined the stone walls, and the air was thick with the scent of roasted venison, spiced wine, and the underlying intoxicating musk of hundreds of werewolves in their finest attire. It was the winter solstice of 1342. The night I, Maeve Danvers, was to come of age, find my fated mate, and take my place among the nobility. For years, it was an unspoken truth that Alistair Montgomery, the Alpha King of the Southern Territories, would claim me. We had been betrothed in everything but name by our parents when we were children. Alistair was everything a young wolf was taught to desire, broad-shouldered, ruthless, in battle with piercing ice-blue eyes, and a jawline carved from granite. As the eldest daughter of Lord Arthur Danvers, one of Alistair's most trusted generals, my lineage was impeccable. I had spent my entire life preparing to be his Luna. I studied the ancient pack laws, mastered the art of court diplomacy, and kept my wolf suppressed and poised exactly as the Alpha King preferred his women. As the midnight hour approached, the musicians ceased their playing. A heavy silence fell over the gathered nobility. Duke Harrison Farnsworth and Lady Beatrice of the Eastern Ridge stepped back, clearing a path down the center of the hall. The solstice moon reached its zenith, shining brilliantly through the grand stained glass window, casting a silver spotlight onto the dais where Alistair stood. Then the scent hit me. It was an overwhelming rush of pine needles, dark earth, and wood smoke. My knees nearly buckled. It was the undeniable soul-deep scent of a fated mate. My wolf clawed at my chest, howling in pure ecstasy. I looked up and Alistair's eyes locked onto mine. His nostrils flared. He felt it too. The moon goddess had not just made us a political match. She had bound our souls. I took a trembling step forward, a smile breaking across my face, expecting him to descend the steps, take my hand, and announce me as his queen to the world. Instead, Alistair's expression darkened into a sneer of pure revulsion. He didn't walk toward me. He walked past me. The crowd parted as Alistair stopped before a figure shrouded in a crimson silk cloak. The hood fell back to reveal cascading golden curls and a face of pristine angelic innocence. It was Abigail, my younger sister. "I have found my mate." Alistair's voice boomed, echoing off the vaulted ceilings, but his hand was wrapped tightly around Abigail's waist. A collective gasp rippled through the hall. My father, Lord Arthur, stood frozen, his face pale. I stared in utter disbelief, the joyous howling of my wolf turning into a confused, agonizing whimper. "Alistair," I whispered, my voice barely carrying over the murmurs of the crowd. "What are you doing? The bond, it's us." Alistair turned his icy gaze back to me, his lip curling. "The bond is a suggestion, Maeve, a primitive instinct for breeding. A true king chooses what is best for his pack. You are stiff, rigid, and lack the fire a true ruler requires." He pulled Abigail closer, and she didn't resist. In fact, she leaned into him, a triumphant, wicked smirk playing on her lips. "Abigail and I have been intimately acquainted for the past 6 months. She carries my pup. She is the true Luna of Silverpine." The room spun. My own sister. My betrothed. For 6 months, they had been making a mockery of me behind my back. The pain of the unfulfilled bond began to burn in my veins like ingested silver, but the betrayal was infinitely worse. "You dare defy the moon goddess?" I demanded, my voice rising, the poised noblewoman shattering as my wolf demanded blood. I stepped towards them, my eyes flashing gold. "You would break a sacred bond for a treacherous whore." The hall erupted into chaos. Swords were drawn by Alistair's guards. My father finally stepped forward, but not to defend me. He grabbed my arm, his grip bruising. "Silence, Maeve. Do not bring ruin upon our house. Bow to your new queen." "Never," I spat, yanking my arm free. Alistair's eyes glowed with lethal alpha command. "For challenging your king and insulting your Luna, I should have your head on a pike, Maeve. But out of respect for your father, I will show mercy." He drew himself up to his full height. "I, Alistair Montgomery, Alpha King of the Southern Territories, reject you, Maeve Danvers, as my mate." The words struck me with the force of a physical blow. The severing of a fated bond is meant to be mutual. When forced by one side, it tears the soul in half. I screamed, collapsing to the stone floor, as blood poured from my nose and tears streamed down my face. It felt as though my ribs were being cracked open and my heart ripped from my chest. "Strip her of her titles," Alistair commanded, coldly turning his back on my writhing form. "Cast her into the Deadwood Ravine. Let the winter claim her." The Deadwood Ravine was a place where wolves went to die. A treacherous frozen gorge at the very edge of the known territories, it was utterly devoid of prey and plagued by blizzards that could freeze a man solid in minutes. I don't know how long I crawled through the knee-deep snow. Hours, days, my velvet solstice gown was shredded, soaked in frozen blood and mud. The physical pain of the rejection bond had reduced my wolf to a whimpering shadow, trapped in the recesses of my mind. Frostbite had turned my fingers blue, and every breath I took felt like inhaling shattered glass. "Just let go," my wolf whispered, her voice fading into the dark. "It hurts too much. Let the snow take us." I collapsed at the base of a massive twisted oak tree. The canopy blocked out the sky, plunging me into complete darkness. I closed my eyes, welcoming the numbing embrace of death. Then the ground began to tremble. It wasn't the erratic shaking of an earthquake. It was rhythmic, heavy, the sound of massive footfalls crunching through the frozen crust of the snow. I forced my heavy eyelids open, expecting to see a rogue pack coming to finish me off. Instead, towering figures emerged from the blizzard. They were not normal werewolves. They stood on two legs, massive and hulking easily, over 7 feet tall, clad in armor forged of dark, unpolished steel. Their fur was thick and wild, their eyes glowing with an ancient feral intelligence. Lycans. The myths were real. They were the ancestors of our kind, believed to have gone extinct centuries ago, retreating into the uncharted northern wastes. They were larger, stronger, and inherently more lethal than any modern werewolf. The pack parted, and their leader stepped forward. He didn't wear armor, only a thick cloak of black, bare fur draped over his broad, scarred shoulders. He shifted seamlessly into human form, unbothered by the biting cold. He was breathtakingly terrifying. His dark hair was swept back, framing a face composed of sharp angles and brutal beauty. But it was his eyes that locked me in place, swirling pools of molten gold. This was Evander Croft, the Lycan King of the Blood Iron Clan. As he stepped closer, the scent washed over me. It wasn't the simple earthy smell of Alistair. This scent was overpowering petrichor ozone and the metallic tang of blood and power. My dying wolf suddenly surged to the surface, howling not in pain, but in absolute reverence. The bond I had felt with Alistair was a flickering candle. The bond pulling me toward Evander was a raging inferno. Evander knelt beside my broken body, his massive, calloused hand gently brushing the snow from my cheek. His touch sent a shockwave of heat through my freezing veins. "A broken bond," Evander murmured, his voice, a deep, resonant rumble that vibrated through my chest. He inhaled deeply, his golden eyes widening a fraction. "And yet, she smells of the old blood. How did a creature of your lineage end up discarded like trash in my woods?" I tried to speak, to tell him my name, but only a dry rasp escaped my lips. Evander lifted me into his arms as effortlessly as if I were a child. The heat radiating from his body began to thaw my frozen limbs. He looked down at me, his gaze fiercely possessive. "The fools in the south do not know what they have thrown away," Evander declared to his warriors. "She is no mere southern mutt. Her bloodline traces back to the first queens of the ice, and she is my mate." I lost consciousness, then enveloped in the protective warmth of the Lycan King. When I awoke, weeks had passed. I found myself in a massive chamber, carved directly into the side of a mountain ironhold, the impenetrable fortress of the Blood Iron Clan. As I healed, Evander revealed the truth that my father had desperately hidden from me. My grandmother was not a southern noblewoman. She was a pure-blood Lycan who had fled the north. The stiffness and rigidity Alistair had despised in me was actually my Lycan blood fighting against the submission of a weaker, inferior alpha. Alistair had done me a favor. By breaking the false, diluted bond, he had paved the way for my true nature to awaken. Over the next 2 years, I did not merely survive, I evolved. Evander did not treat me like a delicate Luna, meant to sit and look pretty at feasts. He treated me as his equal. He trained me in the brutal, unforgiving combat styles of the Lycans. We sparred in the frozen courtyards until I could wield a broadsword as naturally as my own claws. In wolf form, I grew larger, my fur turning a striking iridescent silver white, a stark contrast to the obsidian coats of the Blood Iron warriors. I became the Lycan Queen. I commanded the respect of monsters that made southern alphas look like lapdogs. Evander and I were formally mated in a blood ceremony, under the northern lights, our souls fusing into an unbreakable dominant force. But despite my new life, the scars of my past remained. I kept a network of spies in the southern territories. The news they brought was grim. Alistair's reign was a disaster. Abigail Vane and incompetent had plunged Silverpine into famine and debt. The pack was weak, their borders failing, their people starving, while the king and queen threw lavish parties in their decaying keep. One evening, as Evander and I stood on the battlements of Ironhold, looking out over the frozen expanse, my laid scout, a grizzled Lycan named Thorn. Wait, a grizzled Lycan named Gideon bowed before us. "My queen," Gideon rasped, "the Silverpine Pack's southern border has collapsed. Alistair has conscripted the young and the elderly to fight off rogues. They are ripe for the taking." I looked up at Evander. He didn't say a word, simply resting his heavy hand on the pommel of his sword and giving me a single affirming nod. It was my past. It was my war to declare. I turned back to Gideon, a cold, predatory smile stretching across my face. "Sound the war horns," I commanded, my voice echoing with the undeniable authority of a Lycan monarch. "Tell the Blood Iron Clan to prepare for a march. We are going south to attend a family reunion. The journey from the northern wastes to the southern territories took a fortnight. The Blood Iron Clan didn't slink through the shadows like common rogues. We marched with the thundering cadence of an inevitable avalanche. 2,000 pure-blood Lycans, clad in armor that absorbed the moonlight, moved as a single devastating organism. At the vanguard rode Evander and I, mounted on massive armored northern war horses, bred to carry our unnatural weight. As we crossed the border into Silverpine, the devastation of Alistair's reign was starkly apparent. The once lush pine forests were stripped bare. The villages we passed were little more than shivering hovels, and the scent of sickness and desperation hung heavy in the damp air. The border patrols, composed of emaciated wolves wielding rusted pikes, took one look at our advancing line and dropped their weapons, falling to their knees in absolute submission to the overwhelming aura of pure alpha power radiating from my mate and me. We did not slaughter them. We bypassed them. Our target was the keep. It was the eve of the spring equinox, traditionally a time of rebirth and grand feasts. I knew Alistair would be holding court in the great hall, desperately trying to project an illusion of prosperity to the visiting lords, including Duke Harrison Farnsworth and Lady Catherine of the House of Beaufort, whose financial backing he desperately needed to stave off his pack's collapse. When we reached the massive oaken doors of the keep, Evander did not bother knocking. He simply nodded to two of his lieutenants. They stepped forward, and with a synchronized, brutal kick, shattered the reinforced timbers. The ancient doors exploded inward in a shower of splinters and twisted iron hinges. The roaring music inside stopped instantly. The silence that followed was absolute, broken only by the heavy rhythmic thud of our boots on the stone floor, as Evander and I strode into the hall, flanked by 50 of our most lethal blood-iron elites. The great hall was a grotesque parody of the glory I remembered. The tapestries were moth-eaten. The feast consisted of meager fowl and watered-down wine, and the nobility looked nervous and gaunt. At the high table sat Alistair, his face pale and slack with shock. Beside him was Abigail, draped in ostentatious, gaudy jewels that only highlighted the dark circles under her eyes and the sharp, unhappy lines of her face. "What is the meaning of this?" Alistair demanded, leaping to his feet, his hand instinctively going to the hilt of his sword, but his voice lacked the booming resonance it once possessed. It cracked with underlying terror. I stepped forward, letting the hood of my white wolf fur cloak fall back. A collective gasp swept through the room. My father, Lord Arthur Danvers, dropped his goblet. It clattered against the flagstones, spilling red wine like blood. He had aged 20 years in the past, too, his hair entirely white, his posture stooped with the shame of aligning himself with a failing king. Maeve Abigail whispered, her voice trembling. "But you're dead. The winter could not kill what the ice birthed, sister." I replied, my voice echoing with a dual timbre, my human voice layered over the lethal growl of my lichen beast. The sound alone caused several of the weaker wolves in the room to whimper and bare their necks. "Guards!" Alistair bellowed, his face flushing with a mix of fury and panic. "Seize these intruders, kill them." A dozen Silverpine guards rushed forward, but before they could cross half the distance, my warriors drew their broadswords in a terrifying unison of ringing steel. Evander didn't even draw his weapon. He merely flared his golden eyes and released a fraction of his lichen aura. The sheer suffocating pressure of his dominance slammed into the room. The guards dropped their weapons and fell to their knees, clutching their throats, unable to draw breath against the weight of a true predator. Alistair staggered back, clutching the edge of the high table. You are mated to a monster." "I am mated to a king," I corrected him, taking slow, deliberate steps toward the dais. "Something you have proven incapable of being, Alistair. Your pack starves, your borders are broken, and your Luna." I turned my gaze to Abigail, who shrank back in her velvet chair. I inhaled deeply, letting my enhanced senses unravel the sense of the room. The truth hit me with a wave of disgust. followed by dark amusement. I looked at the young boy sitting a few seats down from them, the heir Abigail had claimed to be carrying that fateful night. "Tell me, Alistair," I asked smoothly, "how does a king with pure silver wolf lineage and a queen of brown wolf stock produce a pup who smells entirely of the common red wolf strain?" Alistair froze. He looked at the boy, then at Abigail. "What is she talking about? Alistair, don't listen to her." Abigail shrieked, tears of panic welling in her eyes. "She's trying to manipulate you." "I don't need to manipulate," I scoffed. I pointed a single clawed finger at the captain of Alistair's personal guard, a man named Simon, who was currently trembling near the tapestries. "He smells of Simon, because it is Simon's child. They've been carrying on an affair since before you threw me into the ravine, Alistair. You broke a sacred fated bond with me, doomed your pack to ruin all for a woman who cuckolded you in your own keep." The hall erupted into gasps. Lady Catherine of the House of Beaufort covered her mouth, her eyes darting between the boy and the guard. The resemblance once pointed out was undeniable. Alistair's face contorted into an ugly mask of rage. He backhanded Abigail, sending her crashing to the floor, her jewels scattering across the stone. "You whore!" he roared. "Enough!" Evander's voice boomed, rattling the stained glass windows. He stepped to my side, a towering wall of muscle and menace. "We did not travel from the frozen north to watch a pathetic southern mutt squabble with his unfaithful mate. We came to settle a blood debt." Alistair's chest heaved a frantic rhythm of panic, masking itself as fury. "This is Silver Pine territory." He roared, though the tremor in his jaw betrayed him. "I am the Alpha King. You cannot march your northern beasts into my keep, and I challenge you, Alistair Montgomery," I interrupted. My voice did not need to shout to dominate the vast, echoing space. It sliced through the stifling air like a newly sharpened blade. "For the throne of Silverpine, for the lands and resources you squandered, and for the insult you dared deal my bloodline." Alistair looked from me to the towering, imposing form of Evander, a cruel, calculating sneer slowly replacing his terror. His southern arrogance blinded him to the reality of the situation. A female, challenging a reigning Alpha King. He spat on the stone floor, the sound echoing in the tense silence. "You may have survived the frozen wastes, Maeve, and found yourself some heavily armored patrons, but you are still just a bitch. The law of the challenge is absolute. When I defeat you, your monstrous army leaves my lands forever. Do you accept?" "I accept your terms," I said, my voice dangerously calm. I reached up and unfastened the heavy clasp of my white wolf fur cloak, tossing it effortlessly to Gideon, who caught it with a respectful bow. Underneath, I wore a master-crafted suit of form-fitting boiled leather, reinforced with plates of dark, unpolished blood iron. Evander stepped back, folding his massive arms over his broad chest. A slow, dark smirk played on his lips. He didn't offer a word of luck or caution. A Lycan king knew when his queen was about to play with her food. Alistair did not hesitate. With a guttural, wet roar, he threw himself forward, his bones snapping and popping sickeningly as he forced the shift. His fine velvet clothes tore to shreds as he erupted into a massive silver wolf. To the southern lords cowering in the corners, he was a terrifying beast, his muscles rippling with alpha power, his jaws snapping toward my throat, fully intending to rip it out before I could even mount a defense. He didn't even leave a scratch. Before his jaws could close around my flesh, I shifted. It was not the painful bone-breaking agony of a southern werewolf's transition. It was a fluid, explosive eruption of ancient energy. I met him in mid-air, but I was no longer Maeve the discarded girl. I was a towering, 9-foot-tall lichen. My fur was a blinding, iridescent white, glowing with a terrible ethereal light, and my claws extended like curved, blackened daggers. I caught him by the throat with a single massive hand. The momentum of his lethal lunge was stopped dead, suspended in the air. The great hall fell deathly silent, save for Alistair's strangled wheeze. I slammed him down into the flagstones with a force that sent a visible shockwave through the floor, cracking the ancient stone in a spiderweb pattern beneath us. Alistair yelped a high-pitched, pathetic sound that shamed his lineage as he scrambled wildly to right himself. Driven by blind panic, he lunged again, sinking his teeth into my forearm. His fangs scraped harmlessly against my hardened leather armor, finding absolutely zero purchase on the unnaturally dense muscle beneath. I did not bother drawing a weapon. I wanted him to feel the exact humiliating physical disparity between the weakling he chose and the myth he threw away. I backhanded his wolf form with the casual flick of my wrist. The impact sounded like a thunderclap. My claws tore through his thick, silver fur and flesh, leaving 3 deep, bloody gouges across his flank. He whimpered, skittering backward, his tail tucked firmly between his legs. His alpha confidence was completely shattered. He was fighting an apex predator, a creature his most primal instincts were screaming at him to submit to. Desperation made him foolish. He lunged in a final, sloppy bid for my legs. I easily sidestepped his predictable attack, grabbed him by the thick scruff of his neck and the base of his tail, and hoisted his massive, struggling wolf form entirely over my head. With a deafening, chest-rattling roar that shattered the remaining stained glass in the windows above, I threw him across the expanse of the room. He soared through the air, crashing violently into the high table. The heavy oak splintered into hundreds of pieces, and Alistair collapsed in a pitiful heap of blood, spilled wine, and shattered wood. Alistair was forced to shift back to his human form, naked, broken, and coughing up dark blood onto the floorboards. He tried to push himself up on his trembling elbows, his eyes wide with unadulterated horror, but his arms gave out, and he collapsed back into the wreckage. I stalked toward him, my heavy footfalls the only sound permitted in the dead silent hall. I shifted back to my human form seamlessly, my breathing, even standing over his ruined body with absolute glacial disgust. "Yield," I commanded softly. The word carried the lethal weight of an executioner's axe. I yield," he choked out, tears of physical agony and utter humiliation streaming freely down his bruised face. "Mercy, by the sacred laws of our kind, your life is forfeit," I announced, turning slightly so my voice reached every trembling noble in the room. "But I will not dirty my claws, executing a weakling who has already destroyed himself. Instead, I strip you of your alpha status. I banish you and your treacherous mate from these lands forever. If you or Abigail are ever seen within 100 miles of Silverpine territory, my warriors will hunt you for sport and leave your carcasses for the crows." I turned my back on his pathetic sobbing. As I walked back toward the dais, my father, Lord Arthur, crawled forward from the crowd, falling to his knees and weeping openly. "Maeve, my daughter, please, forgive me. I was blinded. I was a fool." I paused, looking down at the broken, aging man who had ordered me to bow to his whore of a younger daughter while I bled on this very floor. "You are no father of mine, Arthur. You are a coward who values a comfortable lie over a harsh truth. You may keep your life, but your lands, your wealth, and your titles are permanently stripped. You will live out your remaining days as a commoner in the outer mining villages, working the very earth you allowed to fall to ruin." I ascended the stone steps of the dais, the debris of Alistair's broken reign crunching satisfyingly under my boots. Evander walked up beside me, his golden eyes radiating fierce pride and an unyielding, possessive devotion. I turned to face the remaining nobility of the Southern Territories. They did not need to be commanded. They were already on their knees, their necks bared in ultimate, terrified submission. Silverpine is no more, I declared, my voice resonating with absolute authority. These lands now belong to the Blood Iron Clan. The weak will be trained, the starving will be fed, but the corrupt will be ruthlessly purged. 2 years ago, I was cast out as your broken, defective Luna. I have returned as your Lycan Queen. The answering howl from my 2,000 Lycan warriors waiting outside the keep shook the very foundations of the earth, an earth-shattering symphony heralding the dawn of a new ironclad era. The brutal winter had tried its best to bury me, but it had only succeeded in forging me a crown of ice and iron. Did Maeve's brutal vengeance satisfy your craving for justice? Or did you feel a pang of pity for the fallen king? Dive into the comments and let me know whose side you would take in the Blood Iron War. If you loved this tale of betrayal, power and Lycan dominance, hit that like button. Share it with your fellow fantasy romance addicts, and subscribe to the channel for more epic werewolf sagas every single week.